It's the time of year when we're all thinking about goals and priorities. Now is the time to plan your next trip. Whatever kind of travel fills you up, whether it's lounging on the beach, connecting with family and friends, or going on a foreign adventure, Expedia has the tools you need to plan a great trip. Download the Expedia app or visit Expedia.com to start planning. You do need to be a One Key member to use price tracking. Signing up is easy and free. Expedia, made to travel.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
I'm Oprah Winfrey. Welcome to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. I believe that one of the most valuable gifts you can give yourself is time. Taking time to be more fully present. Your journey to become more inspired and connected to the deeper world around us starts right now.
One of my greatest joys is watching someone experience an aha moment. I delight in seeing that person's eyes light up with a spark of understanding, especially when that recognition might change the trajectory of his or her life. My hope at the start of every conversation is to expand hearts and to create an open space for learning. This is because I've always known that teaching is my true calling. It's the taproot from which all of my other skills and talents grow. I felt this even when I was a little girl playing school in my grandmother's yard, trying to get my cousins, Willie Mac and Lonnie, to spell the Bible names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego correctly. Any chance I got to play teacher, I took it. Author James Hillman calls this the oak within the acorn. We were created as individual acorns in need of nourishment and proper conditions to help us grow into mighty oak trees. I firmly believe it is no coincidence that I ended up sharing wisdom with millions in what became the world's largest classroom, The Oprah Winfrey Show. It wasn't kismet, serendipity, or even plain old luck. I don't believe in luck. For me, luck really means preparation, meeting the moment of opportunity. I was born to teach. My only job was to listen, trust, and obey the call. The same is true for you in following your call. You will hear stories of others who tapped into their unique essence, took a leap of faith, and now have a clear understanding of who they are and why they are here. Like me, they've come to know that there is no moving up and out in the world unless you're fully acquainted with the person you are meant to be. What an unbelievable world we would live in if everyone were doing exactly what they were created to do. A few years ago, I was talking about this very idea with Amy, my chief of staff. Amy's job is to keep all of the trains in my life on track, while at the same time juggling a wide assortment of daily curveballs thrown our way. It involves a whirlwind of multitasking. As Amy and I talked about recognizing one's early unique gifts, she had her own aha. She told me that when she was young, all she wanted for her 8th birthday was a filing cabinet. She just loved the idea of labeling the files and managing paperwork. She also had a calendar before there were events to even write in it and printed rainbow business cards so that people knew she could organize their lives. Now, Amy's job is to organize mine, and it makes me smile to see her delight when she's checking off a list. She followed her calling all the way to my office in Hollywood. Of course, your purpose doesn't have to be tied to your career. I have many friends who told me they knew they were meant to have children before they even understood what it was to conceive. I've always believed that accepting the call to be a mother is the choice to become the ultimate spiritual teacher, because mothers live in service and sacrifice to their children. Whatever your calling, it's already rooted within you, and those roots can be trampled or tugged at, but never removed. They grow stronger only when tended, nurtured, and most important, shared with others. My deepest desire is for people to get still enough to identify what makes them unique and connect to hope, possibility, and fulfillment in all areas of their lives. As author and spiritual trailblazer Gary Zukav so brilliantly taught me, When you align your personality with your purpose, no one can touch you.
We start with Nate Berkus.
I was the kid that cared so much about the things around me, cared so much about the way things looked, but more importantly, the way things felt, that I was tortured by sharing a bedroom with my younger brother. And for me, it was my own space. And my mother knew that, I don't think she knew that I would end up working in design. I don't think she knew that I would end up being on your show. I don't think that anyone predicts or tries to or dreams for that. But what she did know was that her son was the kind of person that had to control the way a space felt and the way a space looked, and that I would get great pleasure out of not just the privacy. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the point. It was the selection. It was the process. It was watching a space that was raw concrete walls in a basement be transformed into a space where I could live out my daily life.
Because when you are connected to those kinds of things, meaning your inner world, mm-hmm. the space around you really matters.
Really matters.
Because the space around you reflects your inner space.
And I think it's universal. I think no matter who we are
true.
Or what we have or we don't have, everybody wants to live better.
Next, Brian Grazer.
So you weren't a great student.
No.
Didn't even read well. I mean,
no.
Back in the day, you would have been called dyslexic, probably.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
And your mother was really upset with you because you were failing the third grade.
Exactly.
Which is reason to be concerned.
Yes, I was totally failing the third, yes.
But your grandmother wasn't worried.
My grandmother wasn't worried. She liked all the questions I asked and always give me an answer. And she'd always say, Brian, you're going to be special. You're going to use this curiosity. You're going to be a special kid. And I often was looking at my report card while she's saying, you're going to be special. My report card said all F's and D's. And I'm going, does she know what's going on here? I'm getting all F's and she's telling me I'm going to be special. But she just had this sustained belief in me and validated me for questions and asking questions and curiosity. But I did use this curiosity to meet new people in subjects that I would have never learned anything about. And by meeting these new people, it's given life to movies and television shows I've done. It's helped me in my personal life with my children. It's been a powerful force in my life.
So powerful and profound. And now, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
My parents both worked really hard. I have never known either of my parents to have just one job. They always had many jobs at once, and they worked really hard so that we could have the things we wanted. And I grew up aware of that, but I also grew up in a house where they were not around for the 9 to 5, but they were there for the important stuff. They never missed a play. They were very present, but they weren't around.
Got it.
And so I had this enormously rich, imaginative life, as my Twitter followers will know, because you will see hours of VHS videos and movies that I made growing up.
And now, Tracy Morgan.
When did you know that comedy was a way out and
it could save
you? My
dad was funny.
Yeah, your dad was funny.
He was Richard Pryor funny.
He was Richard Pryor.
He did it in Vietnam.
Wow.
He was funny, so I didn't really stay under my friends. Mm-hmm. I'd like hung out with my dad and his friends. The conversation between his friends and him were more stimulating. I couldn't learn nothing from my friends. They knew what I knew. Mm-hmm. But I could learn from my father and his friends. And he was funny. He was funny. I remember when he came to the projects, everybody came out because Jimmy's here. And I remember him sitting me on his lap at 4. He said, say to Boo Boo, he said, say your mother this and that. And I said, you're lying. And everybody started laughing. And I liked that. And that's how far back it went. It was my dad.
Sister Joan Chittister.
I've never quite met anybody who knew at 3 years old, standing looking in a casket,
you're right,
that being a nun was your calling. Can you tell me how you knew that?
Yeah, I do. It was quite clear to this little mind. My father had died. He was 23. My mother was a 21-year-old widow with this little baby.
How many children
did
she have?
Oh, I'm it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she dressed me to take me to the funeral parlor. Her brothers and sisters said, you cannot take that child to a funeral parlor. Mm-hmm. My mother said, her father died. She has to grieve like we do. She's going. So she's holding me now in front of the casket. I've got my little hands around her head. I can feel the tears. Her face is wet. I know something terrible, but I'm looking over her shoulder, mm-hmm. like I'm looking there. And down there, at the end of the casket, I say, Mama, what are those two things? What are those things? There at the end. And my mother hugs me a little and she says, honey, those are sisters. Those are special friends of daddy's and special friends of God's. They taught your daddy in high school, and they're going to stay here tonight. And when God comes for daddy's soul, they're going to say, this is Joan's daddy, and he's very good. Take him straight to God. And I said to myself, I want to be one of those. I thought that was the best job in the world. You just sit around waiting and
helping
the angels
helping
come.
People's daddies get to
That's
God.
That's right.
Helping people's
that
daddies
was,
get
and
to
I spent
God.
The rest of my life racing across streets to say hello to nuns. Hi, sister. Hi, sister. And I went to a Catholic school, and I was not disappointed. I don't have any horror stories of my Catholic education. Those sisters were loving. They were smart, they were competent, and they became a model of womanhood for me. Mm. A long time before there was any language for it.
Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are you ready to unlock your inner greatness? If so, make sure to listen to my podcast, The School of Greatness, hosted by me, Lewis Howes. Join me as I sit down with world-class performers, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders to uncover their secrets to success with new episodes every single week. Whether you're striving for personal growth, business mastery, or simply seeking inspiration, The School of Greatness has something for you, and you can find it on SiriusXM, Pandora, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe and follow to the show so you never miss an episode and start your journey to greatness today.
Reverend Ed Bacon.
When I was five, I was playing alone in a pine grove in South Georgia. And all of a sudden, I felt enveloped by warmth and light. And I heard inaudibly, in the deepest part of myself, you are the most beloved creature in all of creation. At the same time I got that message, I also heard, and every other person is the most beloved creature in all of creation. Changed my life. It made my life what it is.
RuPaul Charles.
Well, you know what is interesting? I knew that you were my kind of human when I first heard you say that we're all born naked and the rest is just drag.
Yeah.
Because I have a different way of saying that, but I mean the same thing, that we're all in these kind of body suits and you come up with these definitions and these ideas about who you really are. Mm-hmm. But we all are, my favorite quote, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who said, we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I got that as a kid. You know, I was a young kid and I thought, is everybody getting that this is all kind of an illusion? And I couldn't get anybody to corroborate with me until...
Do you remember the first time you thought that, though?
I remember when my parents were in the living room going crazy, you know, beating each other up. I knew, this can't be right. But when I was about 11 years old on PBS,
yeah,
I found my tribe in Monty Python's Flying Circus. I thought,
really?
Okay, they get it. Okay, they're irreverent. They're not taking anything seriously.
Right.
And they're having fun. That's what this is all about. So that's when I got it very early. My sisters also, you know, we laughed. That was our sanctuary, was a place where we could find some peace. I like the lighter things of life. I like the music and the colors and the smells. And I like love. I like those things. I like to stay away from the dark stuff. It's there, but I tend to go to the light side.
Glennon Doyle.
I remember after I brought my littlest home, mm-hmm. I was staying home with my three kids because that is an amazing idea for someone with high anxiety. Mm-hmm. I was just dripping with babies. And I remember going to a play date, mm-hmm. and the woman turned to me and said, so how do you feel? Like, you've got the three babies at home, how do you feel? And I thought, awesome, we're going to talk about how we feel. And I remember, because I'm a metaphor girl, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been working on a metaphor for how I felt. So mm-hmm. I said, okay, I don't know a lot about science, but I know there's like two different kinds of volcanoes. And the first volcano is an active volcano, and the second one is a dormant one. And the dormant volcano looks calm on the outside, but inside she's like bubbling with boiling hot lava that at any moment could just explode and mm-hmm. kill everyone in the vicinity. That's how I feel as a stay-at-home mom all day. And by the way, that's perfect. That's exactly how it feels. It's an amazing metaphor. But everybody just silence and just like wide eyes.
Uh-huh.
And I had that moment where I was like, oh, we're not doing that here.
Oh, you didn't mean how I really felt.
So then I said, okay, what I meant is that I just love every minute of it. I just... I hate when they sleep, I just stare at them. And I think if there's one word that would describe how I feel as a mother, it would be fulfilled. That's how I feel, is fulfilled. And then we ended the moment. And I thought, okay, well, we're not gonna be honest at playdates,
uh-huh.
all right?
Uh-huh.
That's a shame. So.
But saying that is what made the other person feel comfortable, feel a sense of relief.
Probably,
like,
or afraid for me.
Or
I don't
afraid
know.
Or whatever.
Maybe some calls
yes,
to people.
Like,
I don't
oh,
know.
God, that Glennon's not right.
Right, right.
Something's not right with her.
So then I was desperate for a place to tell the truth.
Uh-huh.
I knew I needed that for my sobriety.
Uh-huh.
You know, to just stay naked and unashamed, like this is me and I don't think it's a mistake. So I knew I needed a place to tell the truth, and I actually did start feeling this invitation to start writing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt like an annoying tap from God, like
really?
Get off the couch and start writing. But I ignored it because I just love watching TV. Oh, God. So one day I was passing the computer and I saw this thing going on Facebook called the 25 Things.
Yes.
So my friends were just like making lists about things about themselves, and I thought, awesome, I can make a list. So I sat down at the computer.
It was the 25 things you don't know about me.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so I walked away, and 2 hours later I came back. And Oprah, my list had been shared all these times from my personal page, and I had 27 new emails, and I thought, something, something. So then that's when I thought, oh, I really should have read someone else's list before I did mine. This is my number 6. I'm a recovering food and alcohol addict, but I still find myself missing booze in the same twisted way that we can miss people who repeatedly beat us and leave us for dead.
That was your number 6. Okay.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. True.
But here's my friend Sarah's number 6. My favorite snack food is hummus.
Wow.
Oprah, all of mine were like that. That was like the most lighthearted one. And so I thought, oh, we're not doing that here either. We weren't doing that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to die. I just wanted to just take it all back. But then later that night, I started opening those emails from people. And they were from people who I had known my whole life, but I had never really known. Because these emails said things like, oh my gosh, Glennon, I just read your list, and I've been bulimic for 12 years, and I've never told anyone. Glennon, I just read your list. My husband and I are struggling. We don't know where to turn. Glennon, I just read your list. My dad's depressed. And on and on. And then they'd all be like, I mean, not all of it, because whoa, but like number four.
Yes.
All of them would say that as a disclaimer. And I thought, this is interesting. This is like, this truth-telling is something that can unlock people. You know, like if we're really meant to connect with each other, then what are we wasting our time?
Yeah.
With this other surface
pretense
stuff.
Thing, yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah, and I felt connected. Mm-hmm. I felt connected, like the real me to the other real other people. You know, the stuff we were meant to help each other carry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and if everybody were being honest, it would be so much easier for everybody to carry.
President Joe Biden.
I read that ever since you were a little boy, you were a boy with a vision, that you had a picture in your head of the kind of man that you wanted to be. Did you live up to your own expectations? Did you fulfill the vision or exceed the vision?
I, by and large, believe that I have ended up being the man I wanted to be. But it wasn't in terms of accomplishment. Mm. Because people usually translate that into, you know, as a young guy, I knew I wanted to be senator, I knew I wanted to be president, I knew that wasn't true. What was true was I wanted to live up to my parents' expectations. And I wanted to be that person that met my mother's standard, being defined by my courage. I wanted to be that person who, no matter what happened, just got back up and kept going. I wanted to be that person who was there and loyal to people who were loyal to him.
Pastor Wendley Phipps.
When the things that you dream of as a kid and you watch them come to reality, those are moments of destiny. But then I began to realize that, and God showed me that moments of destiny are moments for which you were created, but they're not the reason for which you were created. The reason for which we were created is to grow every day, to more resemble, reflect, and reveal the character of the one who created us. He dreams about you. He dreams about me. And the most amazing thing that can happen in the life of a human being is to catch a glimpse of what God's been dreaming for you. But the most beautiful thing that God dreams for us is for us to love like Him, to be kind like Him, to have faith, to have virtue.
To resemble.
Reflect.
And reveal
him.
The character.
That's his most beautiful dream for each and every one of us.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. You can follow Super Soul on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Super Soul Conversation. Thank you for listening.